Yes, Lord. Amen.
Glory.
Hallelujah. I believe that's why we were given the message that we were given. It was for that purpose. I understand it'll have other, I guess, residual effects is what you'd call them, but when God sent it, He had the bride on His mind. Amen. I'm glad to be a part of that tonight. Sure appreciate our sisters singing for us. That was glorious. I really did enjoy that. And I'm sure everybody did as well. And appreciate a willing heart. It's good to have each one here tonight. I know, did hear from Brother Dan, he's got to work second still. So he's down the road right now, but I'm sure his heart's here with us. Now, you hear from Brother Kent by any chance? Oh my, I see. I'll have to get that one figured out then, because sure missing our brother. And all the ones that could be here, should be here, who knows. But I did write on the calendar here, before I forget, in 2 weeks I'm going to have Brother John Garrett preach for us. I don't know if he's preached a Wednesday. Was it just Sunday? Was it just one time? Or was it twice? Well, he's visited probably 3 or 4 times, so that's why I feel like he's been here more. But he'll be preaching for us in a few weeks. I did get a little bit to talk to him, and be honest with you, I vented on him a little bit. Not about you all, don't worry. No, just some things. I'll say this, I really appreciate having today off. You don't even know, man. I was glorious. Somehow I get through day by day, and I'll have people come and ask me, say, how do you do it, Brother Andrew? And I go, I don't know. It's the grace of God, but God knows when I run out of strength and, you know, send some fog. And I'll tell you what, forever, I got no faith in the meteorologist and weatherman. None. Who knew it was going to be foggy today? They didn't tell us. Come on. What is this? I could have slept in maybe. I had to still get up. But and then tonight, my phone said it was clear skies. I got out here and I'm like, what are you talking about? You don't even got right now right. And I can see it. It's foggy, man. Change my phone. Man. Well, I believe the Lord will keep us safe on the way home, you know, and here, fog, people in big cities think they know what fog is. They don't understand fog until you come around here, where it ain't just a little puff of air. It's clouds that fall on the ground. You got to drive through them. So, the Lord be with you. Keep your heart and mind on Him. He'll get you home safe, and I believe He'll just pave a way for you. That's been my worst case driving, wasn't through fog one time. Man. And when you ain't serving the Lord, it's a whole lot worse. Say that, but even when we don't understand, now that we've got the Lord in our hearts and our lives, we know angels paving the way, God, it's going to be just fine. So thank God for that. I'll just stop with that. I'll say that for another time. So let's open up our Bibles tonight. I'd like to start a series here by the help of the Lord. You ready to hear from God tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Let's turn to Revelations chapter 2. Verse 12, and I understand this is coming out of the Pergamos age, and I'll be, Lord willing, I'll be in the scripture for a while, but I'd like to bring out some truths I believe have been given us in this last day. I thank that so much when I begin to read through these things and study, especially the book of Revelation, brother, sister, man, where would we be without a message? And to, Brother Bram said it this way, this is the bride's book. This is our book. This is what was given. John was given this to speak to us in this last day. And man, thank the Lord for that. Because without it, we'd just be all over the place. You can't even apply any of the scripture to today like you need to. But the book of Revelation just perfectly lays out all that's going on right now. And it ought to raise our faith to a place where Satan can't even do anything to us. Because we already got tomorrow's news. It don't matter, Satan. You're not tricking me. You're not deceiving me. I'm going to heaven. You can't stop it. Sorry, but you're done lost. Hallelujah. I got the revelation. You lose, buddy. Amen. Well, I'll just tell you now, the series I like to start on is Satan's Eden. And I like to pull it right out of here in Revelations 2:12 for tonight. It says, and unto the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he, which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling stone block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come upon thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. For tonight, I like to preach, for context, Satan's headquarters. I'm going to go through Satan's Eden for quite a few services here, but I'd like to start tonight on Satan's headquarters. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. With our heads bowed, and I trust your heart as well. You have a need you'd like to lift up to Him? And say, hold that need now. Don't be arbitrary. Be specific with the Lord. He'll be specific in answering you tonight. And say, Father, bring your word to us and feed us manna from heaven. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Invite the Lord your own way. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, we so appreciate these times of refreshing from your presence. When you come and you bring the Holy Spirit atmosphere all around us, Lord, and it just brings a refreshing in our souls. And Lord, just to know it's a down payment of what we'll have in glory over and over for all the ages to ever come. We thank you so much for that, Lord. We thank you for this truth you've given us in this day where we would have been deceived. We would have been walking in darkness and in clouds of wickedness, but you've come and you've shined your light and given us the path back to eternal life. And we thank you for that tonight, Father. We lift you up. We glorify you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for doing all things well. We pray now that you'll come, hear the heart's cry of every person that's here, those that couldn't be here but wanted. I pray you'll speak to them tonight, Father, and give them a special blessing from you. Have your way in this service. Speak through my lips, but hear into every heart, Lord, and may we be molded into the image of the Son of God. Forgive us of all of our many sins, our shortcomings, our iniquities. We pray the blood over our lives now. We wouldn't dare approach your throne with our own merits, but we come bringing the merits of your Son, the merits of Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, that He was counted worthy. We give you all the praise, and we pray you'll take preeminence now. In Jesus Christ's name we ask you. Amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. Satan's Eden, and for tonight, Satan's headquarters. You know, I'm kind of like being able to expose the enemy, brother, sister, because I've learned that the child of God, the man that, or woman that's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you can just expose where the devil is, then you don't got to worry about it no more, because they've got a power in them that can defeat it. Amen. The only way that Satan ever gets something on a true believer, on a born-again, Holy Ghost-filled person, is we can't identify him anymore. Things become, and I think it was very telling that we came into foggy weather, because that's how the devil does it. He doesn't just come out straight black. He doesn't just come out straight evil. He's not wicked like people think he is. He's a deceiver. So he has to appear righteous. He has to appear holy. He has to appear loving and peaceful and all these things. But when it's all said and done, you don't have any peace. You don't have any love. You don't have any joy. And he leaves with all your possessions, and you're sitting here with hands in your pockets wondering whatever happened. Hallelujah. And we know there's nothing you can do about it, brother, sister. We live in a world condition of Satan's Eden. This is the pinnacle of what Satan can do with his power. He's only got so much, but this is what he's created, brother, sister. And you're right, and there ain't nothing wrong with saying this. This has become hell on earth. The things that happen here are direct consequences of what are in that region of the lost. That's right. This is a direct reflection of that, rather. This is what people are going to go to. They think they're just watching movies, but that's a reality that they're pulling and demonstrating what little faculties we can. Brother Bram said it's that fourth dimension that's beyond what we can see. It's going through this place right now. And where is those influences coming from? But nowhere else but the devil himself. And God has allowed Satan to do this. We don't need to go acting like God's being blindsided by this, that God couldn't prepare people for Satan's Eden. God did this on purpose. Hallelujah. And the second you get believers to recognize that, it'll take the complaining right out of your life. It'll take all the belly aching, and it'll take all the glory away from Satan, because you recognize, look, devil, God lets you do all this, and He's still going to beat you. Amen. It's just like Job, brother, sister. Where would the, when it was all done, where could the devil brag anymore? He said, I asked God to let me take, put my hand upon him and build this hedge and tear the hedge down around him. And God let me do it. And I still couldn't get him to curse you. Hallelujah. And then, you know, I said, well, skin for skin. And let me go after his flesh. Any man will fight for his own flesh. He found out that any man would, but not a son of God. He's a different kind of a being. He's not a mortal. He's an immortal. He comes from the image of God himself. And God cannot be deceived. Amen.
That's right.
And the devil got to do anything he wanted to. Even after it was done, he got to send him some miserable comforters. Who knew the quotes but had no revelation. And my, they put him right in a corner. You are just servant seat on every side. It's right here written. But Job still never faltered from the word of God. He stood on it and said, I know I'm right because God told me to give this sacrifice and I've done what God has said.
Yes.
God cannot lie. God will fulfill His word, and God did fulfill His word. Hallelujah. Wasn't exactly the way Job wanted, but God did it anyhow. Amen. And it might not be the way you want it, but it's here to stay. The word of God will be fulfilled in this last day. It doesn't matter how much Satan's, even how much God allows Satan to do. We understand that even in this last days, God has allowed Satan to open the river Euphrates and He loosed them demon spirits to come after us. Hallelujah. After the whole world, brother, sister. And God has allowed, I hope we get this synced in our heart. God has put me here on purpose. I'm not living a haphazard life. These trials and these temptations and this wickedness I have to deal with day in and day out and the pressures of this life. God put me here on purpose. Hallelujah. And you get people to believe that, then you can find some overcomers. Hallelujah. Now, to find where Satan's at, we've got to go figure out where he started. Where was Satan in the beginning? And you can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and I could pull this through how Nimrod erected Babylon and things, and that's where Satan put his seat and began to control men by men, which God did not ordain. God never put a man over another man. Every man is equal in the eyes of God, and God's supposed to be over every man. But Nimrod began to exalt himself because not only did he hunt animals, he hunt humans. And it started up Satan's whole influence and transferred from there all the way down to the Babylonians with Nebuchadnezzar. And then we understand the message of the hour, I trust you do, that it went into Rome. And then we come in here in Pergamos. So I could go show you the history of why it was moved from Rome to Pergamos, but it's still the Satan seat.
Yes.
And for us, the history is great, but I trust you believe that.
Amen.
I'm not here to give a history lesson tonight. You can go study the histories. It does line up with the Word of God. God has already sent us a message and told us all that. How about we go listen to it?
Amen.
Amen. You go read your church age book. He'll explain how it came to Pergamos and things. But what I want to talk about is, where is Satan's headquarters when it comes to the spiritual kingdom, brother, sister? Where does he get us as individuals? Sure, you and I, as message believers, can recognize that the Pope's the Antichrist. That influences the devil himself. That's the real deception of the enemy. It's not Obama. It's not Donald Trump. It's not Russia. It's not China. It's sitting right there in the Vatican, claiming to be Christ, but being the exact opposite. Leading people away from the blood of the Lamb to anything else. Because he knows, if they get to the blood, I'm defeated. But if I can just keep them in church, I got them. If I can keep them in a doctrine, I've got them. Hallelujah! If I can get them just to show up to church and feel good once in a while, I've got them. But if they ever get in that blood, I've lost. I've lost all my power. I've lost all my authority because I can't transfer over that blood, because if he did, he'd have to repent. And he looks at that blood and thinks, I just can't. He's just so full of pride. Do you know Satan wouldn't have to be destroyed if he would just repent? But he can't do it. Neither can the fallen angels, as we understand. They were given one time to make a choice, and that was it. And we understand a third of them, as the Bible says, a third of them went with Lucifer, and here they are today tormenting us. And that's right, and this is all they get. That's why they're getting more revved up as they go, because they're not creatures of eternity. They're creatures of time. And they know time runs out eventually. And so they got to do what they can because they've only got a short amount of time. And brother, sister, if we'd recognize that what we can do for the kingdom on this side is running out and running out very fast, we'd stop diddle-daddling around about this stuff and recognize we've only got so much time to have an influence anymore. Yep. Hallelujah. Let me go back. Let me just read. Brother Branham says, and you can pull up a few of these quotes. Right towards the end of his ministry, Brother Branham keeps talking about the trail of the serpent. I want to read a few to you. Coming out of leadership, which, if you know the message, is the about a month before he died. A few weeks, actually. Excuse me. If you ever, coming out of leadership, if you ever bought one of my tapes, get this when I get to it, when I get home. The trail of the serpent. And you'll see where it's at. See where it ends up at. Going home now to speak, if the Lord willing. It's about 4 hours. So I couldn't keep it at one of these meetings like this. I have to go up there where the church suffers with me so long patiently. Oh, Brother Andrew, you ain't keeping us 4 hours, are you? I don't know. Could you handle it? That's right. Hallelujah. We got quiet, but that's okay. I'll amen it anyways. Amen. Power of Transformation, 1965. Brother Branham says this, says, when I go home this time, I'm preaching on the subject, the trail of the serpent, the beast at the beginning and the beast at the end, and trail him right through the Bible and show how he heads up. See? And you'll get, and you'll all get that on telephone, you see, if the Lord permits us to do it. Do you see how he keeps throwing that in there? Because we all know it wasn't the Lord's will for him to preach that. That's right. He says, and now just watch how cunning that fella is. How he's just exactly, well, they're just like Judas and Jesus there, both brothers in their tribe. Just like Esau and Jacob and the crow and the dove sitting on the same root. And everything is twins in this great warfare that we're in. The enemy uses deception like he did to Eve. Oh, God has said, surely, but surely. He said, yes, God said that, but surely. See that spray over it? See? But what God says, God keeps. He don't need any help from Satan. He keeps it. So don't never be deceived by that. Amen. Amen. So we go all the way back. And Brother Branham, as we said, he wanted to preach this trail of the serpent. And the more I've looked into it, the more I recognize he's already preached the trail of the serpent. You can go find the beast in the beginning. And you go all the way to find the beast at the end. Now, I just being a human and covetous, I guess, I would have really appreciated one sermon that he did that for us. But now I got to go and why do you have a search engine, brother, sister, for the message? Come on. Why are we giving this electronically? So we can go find the trail of the serpent and all those messages without sitting there flipping through every one of them, all 1,200 of them. There just ain't enough time to do it. Don't use technology for the enemy. Use it for the kingdom. Amen. Amen. How about we quit dealing down on other things and get into this word and figure out what was given to us? You know what? If I gave you an inheritance and it was $5, if it was worth who knows what, but if it was yours and it was given to you, you'd go search it out. But for some reason, it's so hard to get the Christian to get into the Word of God and figure out what he's been given. Amen. You've been given an inheritance, brother, sister. When God gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when God changes you from that demonic creature you used to be into a saint of God, you have a power, you have an authority, you have an entire inheritance. Amen. That Brother Branham said that God would bankrupt heaven before he let one of his promises fall. Amen. Hallelujah. And who holds the power of that word today is you as the individual. Amen. 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 Don't knuck under the pressures of Satan's end time, of Satan's Eden. You were born for this age. You are more than a match for him. Don't be deceived by his tactic of just adding slightly to the word. And I'm going to expose him here more and more as we go. But I want to bring it down to his headquarters. Because not only is his headquarters that I talked about in the natural, which is important, that's great. But I want to talk about his headquarters when he attacks you. I want to talk about where he puts his feet down when he comes after you. And I'm going to make sure you understand this. God put him there on purpose. Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, right there in the middle. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 28, verse 11. And you'll watch this prophecy. It's coming out of Ezekiel. And he starts on the king of Tyrus. But you begin to watch very, very quickly. The meaning of the word passes from just a mortal man standing there to the influence behind him. Satan in his headquarters here. Now listen, Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Look, he's not lying. He's telling him the truth. He says, this influence is full of wisdom, and it's perfect in beauty. We're beginning to expose where he started. Hallelujah. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherubim that covereth, and I have set thee so. So I said before, this is not haphazard. God made this being. God created him the way he was and put him as the anointed cherubim, as his own right-hand man in the kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Nothing's out of whack, brother, sister. It was perfectly in order. And then you begin to look at the world. Why do we even value gold and silver and diamonds? They can't do anything for us. They're just worthless. They're not worthless, but they're different materials, but they ain't no different than that wood or that drywall. You can make the same stuff out of it. Why do we give value to it? Is it came from the one who was covered in it.
Wow.
Who looked at himself and said, I'm the definition of beauty. And that influence began to work into the world, and what happened? All of a sudden, gold had value.
Yeah.
It's just a metal like anything else. You go get you one of them I'm getting old now. Periodic table, that's right. It's just one of the numbers on there. It ain't no different than nothing else. But for some reason, that has power. That sways nations.
Sure.
That moves the world. That gets people to coming and going and all over the place. Why? Because the inspiration came all the way back from the one who couldn't get his eyes off himself.
Yeah.
Everywhere he looked, he saw him.
Yeah.
Everywhere this Lucifer, if you just want me to call him his name, that he was so consumed with himself, he couldn't even recognize any beauty in anything else. He began to look around. He said, you were in the garden of God. You knew God's perfection. Yet he looked around and said, we can do this better. Oh, man. And just look at how convincing this man was, or this influence anyways, this angel presence, how influencing he was. He convinced a third of the angels that he could make it better. When we begin to think of what beauty is, you need to get your mind out of Satan's thinking, because when we get to heaven, it's not the same beauty. Because if Satan would have been satisfied, he would have sat back and said, no, this is right. But Satan wasn't satisfied with what the beauty was looking at. He said, God, why did you make that out of stone? We could have made that out of precious emerald or something. Satan hates God's humility. It drives him nuts. Wait a minute, you have all this power and you still succumb under the word of a man? And that same influence comes into human beings, and they can't accept an almighty God, an all-powerful God, a God that can have anything, worrying about your needs more than his own. Because they know their selfish ambition was, if I had more money, you know what most people would do? They would spend it on themselves. And Satan, that's where they got this influence from, all the way back. And look, not out in the world. This was right in the church.
Yeah.
We'll get to there. Stay with me now. Thou art the anointed cherubim that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. There was no lack of revelation as far as he knew what he was supposed to do. He knew his rightful place. But then something came into his heart. What is iniquity? Is knowing what to do or what not to do and doing the opposite. And he began to say, you know what? I know I'm not supposed to think I got a better way, but I know I got a better way. And that's where that seed of iniquity began, all the way back in the ages, somewhere beyond where we can really comprehend. This war began right there with one thought. I know better than God. We're getting down to Satan's headquarters now. Where does Satan really begin at? It didn't come when he started saying, hey, wormwood or whatever some of the angels were. You see this wall over here? This is just ugly. Don't you think we could have covered this in gold and made it a lot better? And you know that maybe one of the angels said, you know what? He's got something going there. That does kind of make sense.
Sure.
And he began to persuade. And we think that when we start getting persuaded, when we start, it's usually after we're already done doing something that we know is wrong, we think, oh, Satan pulled one on me. Long time ago. Long time ago. No, you missed it back when it was just the headquarters. Now he's already infiltrated all the way in to where he's got a command base inside of you. Whoo, glory. Listen to this now. And we're talking about right in the church. We're talking about that's where he's going to come after you, brother, sister. Yeah. Now listen, because it's going to come. I'm pulling this from the message. It says, I will restore, 1954, Brother Branham speaking. It says, now as we go along. Now Cain came and made his sacrifice. And by the way, I'm throwing this in because I like this by the way here. And by the way, God don't want lilies on the altar. He wants sinners on the altar. God don't want your lily. He wants you. You're the person needs to be on the altar. And anyhow, all this today, and we've noticed that Satan in the beginning, in the origin, back in the initial condition, he was full of pomp. He wanted something, a better kingdom than Michael. So he goes over to the north and sets up a kingdom greater, more beautiful. Don't you see how beauty is deceitful? And how our churches today are seeing who can build the biggest church, who can make the best pews, who can get the best dressed crowd, the most honorable people among the city to come. That's all of the devil. Ooh, glory. How many believe this message?
Amen.
That attitude about that is all from the devil. Amen. You may be angry with me after this. You may be angry with me, but that's all right. But when I meet you at the judgment, you'll know that I've spoken to you in the name of the Lord. That's right. We can't humble ourselves anymore. We got to have big, the refined, and the best, and everything like, and knowing that those things comes from Satan. Always have been. It was in heaven. That's the reason he was kicked out. That's what he's doing here on earth, taking the churches and deceiving them. God doesn't dwell in big buildings. He doesn't dwell among fine-dressed peoples. He doesn't have to have that. God wants a humble heart to dwell in. Amen. And it's too bad that we, the holiness people, Pentecostal people, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it, the message people, before we just go and blast them to pieces and not look at our own dirty doors. Amen. God wants a humble heart to dwell in. Amen. It's too bad that we, the holiness people, the Pentecostal people, is getting so starchy till we forget about that. Amen. I'm not amen to myself, but amen means so be it. I believe it. Amen. Coming out of faith that was once delivered to the saints, 1953. Yeah, Cain was justified if God only required that. But God rejected him because his spirit only looked to a thing temporal. He was the nature of his daddy. His daddy wanted a great, big, beautiful church in heaven better than Michael. He got kicked out of heaven for here's his nature down here beautifying the altar. And here it is yet today. Why they make a big, fine churches. You Pentecostal people are just as bad as the rest of them. That's right. You think because you got a big crowd coming to your church or the societies of the city or something like that, that's going to make no difference. God will meet you on a street corner or in an alley or anywhere. You're a whole lot better off when you was in a mission. Amen. Amen. And I ain't just saying that because we're over here in a mission right now. I'm saying it because it's the truth, brother, sister. If we're building churches as buildings and not as souls, we are not building the kingdom of God. We are back under the influence of Satan himself from the beginning. I will build a beautiful kingdom that's better than the way God does it. Well, we don't have to sit there and holler and scream. We can just say our dignified amens when it's appropriate. And we won't teach our children to actually praise the Lord or anything because we know they can't quite do it right yet. Y'all are too quiet on me now. How about we shake off that Pentecost or Methodist starch out of us too and recognize, and I'm trying to get there real quick. Maybe I'll just go ahead and get there. Satan's seat, where does he really come after? It starts right here, brother, sister. It starts in the realms of the mind, and God has so allowed Satan to build his headquarters in the human mind. You cannot get rid of that. This is where too many believers quit because they identify with the mind that Satan has been allowed to put in us. Oh, glory to God. We know the greatest battle ever fought. You all know this. It says in the mind, which and you can go through the scripture. When it comes to the spirit and the mind, it's virtually the same thing. It's the realm of your affections. It's the realm of your conscience. It's the realm of your memories and your reasoning. That is the realm that Satan put his headquarters and God put him there.
Amen.
Why? To see what you choose.
Amen.
What begins to happen, Christian friends, is Satan has his headquarters there. You're going to get imaginations that are wrong. You're going to get reasonings that are wrong. And I'm talking about born again people. Because before you were born again, that's the only mind you had. So you were only going wrong all the time. There was nothing you could do about it. Just like the old chief. Remember, he got saved. And Brother Ram says, they asked him, he said, Chief, what happens now that you got saved? He said, I got two dogs in me. So I got a white dog and a black dog. See, before you saved, it's just a black dog. There ain't no white dog to be found. You're just evil. Even the good you're doing is evil. But after you're saved, there's something else rises up. We know as the message now is that predestination of God has now come alive. And it gives you a force. Where? Not up here, but in here. In the heart of the man, which is where God set up his headquarters. But we tend to think that they're just chilling there. It's a war. And just go to World War II. You've got Germany there. They began to bring in war with the countries around them. What did they want to do? They wanted to take their influence, not just sit there and have cakes and say, hey, this is great. They began to infiltrate. They wanted to spread their influence. Don't think Satan is satisfied with just setting his headquarters. He wants to infiltrate into you. He wants to get down into your heart and begin to change the very affections that you have. This is where we've got to recognize his headquarters is against me. And if you begin to realize, even in yourself, that the love for the things of the world is beginning to have power, I'm here to tell you, you gave up a long time ago. There was a check come by, God told you quit doing that, and you just kept doing it. And what does Satan? He don't care, man. Satan, he's actually, I'll give him this, he's got a lot more patience than most of us. He knows how to sit there and just throw one little pebble in front of the door and walk away. Throw another one up there. Throw another one up there. And after a year, he's finally got a stack and you don't even notice it because you got used to it being there. And he just built a complex one comment at a time. One comment at a time. Before you know it, everybody hates you. Before you know it, can't shake that person's hand. Before you know it, you just can't even pray because you're so guilty conscious about hating a brother that you can't even serve God. And where did it start? Way back where, I wonder why I didn't shake my hand today. Wonder what I did. And instead of doing what the Word said, which is go talk to him, we'll talk to somebody else. You probably call up the pastor and let him know. Well, if you call up this pastor, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you to do. Don't talk to me no more. Go talk to that person. And if you say, well, I don't feel like I should talk to him, well, then get it out of your heart and forget about it. That's your other option. Look, and I'm there's nothing wrong with that. There's times where, how do I say it? People want to take their burden, just dump it on the other guy. When they're confessing, but really there's, well, I hate your guts, so here you go. If the man don't even know no different, I've had people say, you know, bro, I'm sorry I said this. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. You almost give me a complex by saying it. Just get right, get it out of your heart, and let's go on. You know, we don't need to worry about that. The Bible says confess your faults one to another. I don't need to know every little thing you did every single day. I don't have nothing else to talk about. That's right. Look, at least I don't have angel wings. I don't know about you all, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I'm not just grace today and 5 minutes later it's gone. I'm talking grace, 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 all the time grace. Thank God I got grace right now. I wouldn't be standing behind a pulpit. Hallelujah. Satan's seat has been placed by God inside of our mind. That is his headquarters against you, brother, sister. You can type it out from the world. Why did he put himself right in the middle of civilization? Is because that's where he could control where everything else was through political power, which is persuading the minds, brother, sister. That's why now that media is ramped up so much, so many more people can be persuaded to where, we have a reason. Christians have a reasonable mind that's been given by God to actually make sense of things. We can look at people and go, how in the world do you think that's okay? But now that we know that Satan has been unleashed, he can literally persuade the mind to where it doesn't stay here. It begins to drop. And it begins to mold the heart of a sinner to where Satan's ambition then rests inside of them. This is why the baptism of the Holy Ghost is such an important thing to know that you have, because it keeps him sealed out of there. Amen. He can't take God's stronghold because it's sealed away from him. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but he can't take the stronghold, but I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to attack it with all that's in him. Because he looks at the kingdom of God that's in you and says, I don't like it.
I don't like all that screaming and shouting. I don't like all that forgiving people and loving each other and praying for others and loving your enemy. I can't stay in that.
Sure.
So what am I going to do? I'm going to build me a complex and tear the whole thing down. And if you let them, and I understand, don't get in the eyes of eternity, but we ain't in eternity right now. We're right here in time. And you can take your victory, and Satan can take it from you. I understand you'll get it back at the end. I got that, but I don't want to give no glory to Satan.
Amen.
And I don't believe the bride has that attitude anyhow.
Right.
If you've got an attitude of complacency and allowing Satan to defeat you, I have a hard time believing you're the bride. Because if there's any age that has to have a resilience, has to have an endurance, it's this one.
Amen.
To stand up and say, no, no matter what comes my way, no matter what happens, that word is right.
Amen.
And I believe it with all my heart.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I don't need to add, I don't need to take away. I can believe it in the simplicity that God wrote it.
Amen.
Even with Antipas, you know, we want to look through the histories and everything. I'm going to tell you right now, you go look up Antipas, you're not going to find a whole lot of history. But we don't need history as believers because God wrote it in His Word.
Amen.
This is true. Why? It's the Word. And God put him in there. So I believe what the Word said about it. That he was a man in Pergamos, right in where Satan's seat was, and he laid down his life faithfully. He was a faithful martyr. Hallelujah. And God, I believe, honored him by putting him in the Scripture for us. And I say, Lord, just let me be that way. Maybe I not have to lay my life naturally, but let me lay it down every day. Let me die daily, just like Paul told me to. Die out to any affection of this world and raise my affections in Christ. When Satan begins to infiltrate the mind, brother, sister, he's going to go after that simplicity. He's going to go after... Let me just read a few scriptures real quick to stay with me. I didn't realize how far I've already went already. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." 2 Corinthians 1:12, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you, Word." See, it goes all the way back here to what we read here in Ezekiel. Satan believed he knew better than God did. And that has now become the definition for us of the carnal mind. The carnal mind is the way Satan thinks about situations. And that is the headquarters that God has allowed to be in you, brother, sister. But I'm here to tell you, it's the enemy. The Bible said to be carnally minded is death. It's not just a bad choice. It is death to go the way of the carnal mind. You won't be able to get rid of it. Let me read you a scripture now. I'm bringing a basis to everything I've been saying. Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be." "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." And now it makes sense. Why can't we please God? It's because we're not thinking God's thought about it. We're thinking the enemy's thought about it. When we have a carnal mind, Satan will come to a sister and say, "Man, that hair's bugging you. Man, that's driving, it makes you hot and weighs you down. You know, you should give that to a good cause." And if he can corrupt you from the simplicity, he won't just come against it. He'll say, you know, "Give it to Locks of Love. Help somebody that's got cancer." And get you to leave that word of God and say, "Well, I guess, you know, it'll grow back." See, and then the devil done got you. Because we know what the scripture says about a woman cutting her hair. She loses her respect for God and the authority that God has set up. When you begin to watch a woman get rebellious and begin to toot her own horn, first thing that's going to come off is her hair. You can take that to the bank. It's going to happen. And when I watch a spirit of a woman that gets that way, they usually got it in a bun, don't they?
Yeah.
Yep. Usually got it curled up so you can't quite see the ends. Why would they just trim the ends? Why has that become a thing in our message where some people preach that women can trim their hair? Why? Because they won't get that spirit out of the church, so they've got to appease it.
Right.
But they don't want to push it all out and lose the whole church because we got too much religion here. Because some churches of Satan have a lot more religion than others.
Sure.
And those that want to stay in the message, they close it. Well, just trim it. That's different than cutting. Brother, sister, when does a trim become a cut?
Right.
2 inches, inch and a half, It's cut is cut. That's the way. And see, if you believe the word, as we just said, it's simple. God said, don't do it. I ain't going to do it. And that's just one example. Brothers, the same. What did Jesus tell us? He said, if a man looks at a woman to commit adultery or to lust after her, he's committed adultery where? In his heart. See, Satan doesn't just stop at the mind. He's not satisfied with that. He is a conqueror. But he only does it with deceit. He has no power. He has to trick everyone to be his agents. That's why the Catholic Church is a perfect type of that, brother, sister. Everybody's waiting for them to do something. They've already done infiltrated. That's why nobody can say it except the bride of Christ. Because the whole world will be deceived by it. They'll think they're running their own countries. There'll be 10 kings think they're ruling the world. When it's all done, there's one ruling all of them. And after a while, they'll realize it was him. That's right. Russia won't appreciate that too well. They'll take care of that. And all it takes is that one, and it'll start the nuclear holocaust and wipe this whole thing out. And while that's going on. See, God gave you an imagination. Now give it to him.
Amen.
We'll be over there at a table somewhere.
Yes, sir.
I'll be sitting with you brothers and sisters eating. I don't know what, but it's sure going to taste good. Be up there at the mayor's supper of the Lamb, not dealing with none of that nonsense down here on earth. Satan is not happy with just tempting your mind. He is trying to drive his unbelief, his theology, his reasoning, his imaginations, whatever he can, and drives them down to try to get into your heart. And you watch, and we're all susceptible to this. I don't care how long you have the Holy Ghost. If you begin to let down the bars, Satan will take advantage of it. And he will push his way in. And before you know it, and we've all dealt with this. I'll use a brother because it's a lot easier. We all liked football for the most part. What happens? If we just kind of edge on that a little bit, before you know it, you're watching every highlight reel. You're watching every game. Come on, don't lie to me. You're listening in. You want to know the scores. You want to know the records. You want to know why that little bit Satan got it and started pushing it down. And it began to make you start reckoning, why am I? I'm starting to love this thing. But see, that's why I love the seal of the Holy Ghost. Right before he can penetrate and actually make you think something fights back and says, get this out of my life. I don't even care about this. Why? Because that carnal mind isn't really me. I'm the man in Christ, and the man in Christ could care less about people running around with a ball. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother Bam says this, united under one, I pray God's speaking to you tonight. Because this isn't an evangelical thing. This is teaching for a believer. It really is. United under one head, 1958. Man works by his head and looks with his eyes. See, the devil said to the woman, oh, the tree is pleasant. She said, it's good to look at. See, that same devil, if he can get you to stop for a minute, and he can make you reason it out, he can make you think with your mind. But God doesn't use a man's head. God uses his heart. God works on his heart while the devil works on his head. God chose the heart. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Hallelujah. When you begin to watch, turn with me, and I'll bring this to a close here. Matthew 9. And I'll stay in Matthew a few scriptures. When you look at Jesus dealing with the Pharisees, you understand now why he said things the way he did. Matthew 9. Matthew 9 and verse 1. Matthew 9, verse 1. He entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why think ye evil in your heart? See, these people, these Pharisees, these religious zealots that look like they should have been the ones to receive the Messiah. Satan, remember, there's no predestination in them. So Satan has so influenced their mind, he's literally pushed all the way into their hearts to where now the way they think, their affections, what they like to see, what they believe, is all coming from the devil, who's trying to destroy not only them, but destroy all of man. So here's a, we understand there was a sick of the palsy that has come and been healed miraculously. But because of the way Jesus worded his words, they said he blasphemes. I like how Nicodemus said. He said, we know you're a teacher come from God. How in the world could you be doing these things if you weren't from God? We know God don't hear sinners. So there's got to be something about you that's different. But see, this evil doctrine, that's what it really is. This evil mind has been pushed all over in these hearts till they looked a miracle in the face and said it's the devil. They looked it right in the face, but it didn't come out of their mouth. It didn't come out of their head. It literally came out of their heart. And Jesus perceived it. They didn't have to say it with their mouth because Jesus heard what was in their heart. This is why Paul, and this ought to give every one of you a blanket to know you can be saved. Paul, he said he blasphemed, but then said he was saved and sanctified. He said, why? Because I did it through ignorance. It was never out of his heart. It was from up here. And God didn't care about what was up here. He cared about what he knew he put in here. And no matter what you said, no matter what you did, no matter what things happened before, God knows what was in your heart. And if you've got any desire to still serve him, praise God, there's still a chance.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if anything, that proves there's a predestination there that Satan could never quite get to.
Yeah.
Whoo, glory. And if there's anyone Satan got closer to his heart than anyone, it was Saul of Tarsus.
Yeah.
He said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And as we translate to that today, I was a Catholic of the Catholics.
Yeah.
Bring it home. Don't leave it back there. Bring it home. And this Catholic of the Catholic, who wasn't just sitting in and preaching his soft doctrine, he was making sure people got put in prison, watched them get stoned and laughed about it. And we would have wrote him off, but God saw beyond all that. That was all stuck up here in his head. Satan had took over that stronghold and was trying to push into his heart. But right before he got there, what happened? Here come the pillar of fire.
Yes, amen.
On the road to Damascus, and it shined all about him. Nobody else saw it, but he did. Why? There was a seed in him. I don't know about them other fellas, but they might have already been done, but there's something in him. I could still respond to the word. And that pillar of fire came and it knocked him down. Nobody else saw it, but it was so bright to him, he was blind for weeks, or for days rather. He was blind, hallelujah. And he said, oh my, what began to happen? That his heart began to come alive. He began to be the real, not just Saul, but Paul.
Yeah.
He said, Lord, who are you? He asked the right question. Who are you? And I love, he already said, Lord. So he already recognized, I know who this is. I just don't know his name yet.
Amen.
He said, I'm Jesus. I'm the one you persecute.
Amen.
And you might have heard this message. It might have knocked you right on your feet. Hallelujah. Might not know what it was all about, but you knew it was the Lord.
Amen.
And we asked him, what's your name? And it still hasn't changed. It's still Jesus Christ. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he still gives the Holy Ghost an overcoming power the same today in the midst of Satan's Eden.
Hallelujah.
To trample that devil's kingdom. To take back those strongholds.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Turn to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, 34. Oh, generation of vipers. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, or evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the days of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 15, verse 17. He's talking to his disciples. He said, do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. And we have these people now will come and say, but God knows my heart. And I say anymore, yes, he does. And you better tremble.
Right.
Because your heart is full of wickedness. How do you know that? I'm watching what's coming out of your mouth.
Right.
I'm watching what's coming out of your life and how, and even when you say good things, I know you don't mean them. And this is what Jesus was saying. He says, you're a bunch of hypocrites. Because he's saying, how can a bad tree be saying good things? He said, the only way is he's trying to be something he ain't. Jesus already perceived, he already knew that these were beyond redemption. Why? Because these things that were coming out weren't coming out of their head, wasn't just coming out of a doctrine. It was literally coming out of their very heart. They believed this with all that was in them, that Jesus was really a devil. Looking the power of God. God made flesh. And because Satan had so infiltrated from his headquarters down into their heart, they looked at it and called it the devil. God have mercy on such a generation. What happens, brother, sister, to us? And I'm not taking away your predestination, but I want you to understand the warfare that you're under tonight, and I'm bringing this to a close. When you begin to watch your affections dwindle for the Word of God, I'm telling you, Satan's headquarters has advanced in you. It's not just in your head. You can't just, it's not birds flying over no more. They've done roosted. When the Word of God doesn't excite you anymore, what does it show? Satan has got a hold of your spirit. Because now your imaginations are on something in this life. Are you hearing me now? Amen. We shouldn't have to sit here, and this is why we have such a hard time just having church anymore. It's because people spend so much time setting their affections on things of the world, setting their imagination on things of the world, their conscience, their reason, that when it comes to the presence of God, they don't even know what to do anymore. Right. Scared to death about it. Can't even get excited about it. And if that's us, we got one place to find ourselves tonight. And it's not in having a shouting time. It's down at Calvary. Because something's wrong somewhere. God ought to thrill a Christian more than anything. The promises of God ought to make you want to jump through this roof. And not because, not on the flesh, not on the outside, but out of the heart, a true heart of worship, that, Lord, this is my affection. Lord, when I see someone sick, it just thrills me to watch them get healed. Glory to God. When I watch someone bowed, it just thrills my soul. I can't contain myself when I watch them get free in the Spirit. Woo, glory to God. Don't put your affections on this life either. Don't put it on getting another buck, getting a better job, better car, better house. Forget all that. Because the second you put your affections on that, here's what's going to happen. Satan's going to give it to you. Yep. I don't know if y'all love me after this, but it's the truth anyhow. Yep. He saw the rich young ruler, saw where his heart was, and he wasn't willing to give it to him. Yep. Why? Because he was infiltrating. Yep. He thought he was blessed. And you know what? As long as your heart is in God, let God bless all day. Praise God. You won't sit there and relish in it like Satan. You'll be like Jesus and hand out everything you can. Amen. That's great to be blessed when you're serving the Lord, but if you're living in sin, I don't want you to be blessed because you'll be more deceived. That's just Satan advancing his kingdom. He did it to that rich young ruler, got him all the way to the place to where he was still going to church. Still paying his tithe, still believed God sent a prophet, still believed the message, still honored his father and mother. He said, I've done all these things. He probably made us all look bad. Right. And he got to one day where he looked out and said, you know what? I got some nice barns out there, but they're getting kind of full. Let's tear them down and build some new ones. And that conviction hit his heart and said, you know you're not right with God. And he just overrode it one more time. And no, the priest done told me I'm okay. As long as I put my name on the book, as long as I associate myself with believers, I'm okay. Never got born again. And he kept overriding that voice. Until here he was. Oh, God's done blessed me. Done prospered me. And he says, I'm going to tear these down and build up new ones. What did the word of the Lord say? He said, you fool. You fool. You think you're so smart? You've got the wrong wisdom. You do have, you're full of wisdom, but where did it come from? Came from the other one that's going to go to a fiery pit here soon. Showed you how good his wisdom did us. It doesn't help us, brother, sister. He says, you fool, tonight will your soul be required of thee. This is why I've come so hard against these doctrines that's even getting our message that's making people complacent about serving the Lord. Because it proves your heart isn't set on things above. It's set on this world. If you're still trying to hold this together, it shows your heart's still here. Because if your heart was set above, you don't care about this kingdom. You care about the kingdom of God getting into the hearts of people. Amen. And I don't care if I lose my job. If God tells me to witness, I need to witness. Amen. That's a mighty big quote. I'm sure Satan ain't going to like this after tonight. But that's all right because I'm against him anyways. Amen. I am. I hate him. Yes. I'm allowed to hate evil. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's one of the things that God came to Job and said, I love him because he loves my word. He hates evil.
Right.
I can't love good and evil at the same time. Then you become a Pharisee again, a big old hypocrite.
Right.
Hallelujah. So what's my message? I hope you understand the warfare and where Satan's his headquarters is, where God put his. The seed of God that's in you. That's his headquarters. And as long as you'll just yield your affections to that, that kingdom destroys his kingdom. It pulls down strongholds. Satan could sit there and build it for 50 years, and in 5 minutes of the presence of God, he tears it down from the root up.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
All it takes is for you to take your heart and set your affections on things above. All of it. Don't even let a hindrance, any bit of your heart or any of your love go to the devil at all. Let it all go to Jesus
Amen.
Christ. And the scripture, let me just quote you a few scriptures and I'll close. Colossians 3 verse 1 says, if ye be then risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Set them. You know, if I set this on here, I took it and I put it there. So you're going to fight against it. The devil's going to try to get you to set it somewhere else. Set it on things above. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And not in the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So as much as you think you're actually doing something, it's already there anyways. You just need to believe it.
Amen.
Amen. That Christ is already on the right hand, already done conquered the devil. That a whole new kingdom's already getting set right now for us. And there ain't nothing going to keep us from it. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. That's where he's fighting you now. Cast them down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Hallelujah. What does that mean to us, brother, sister? Is you're going to mess up. You're going to do what's wrong. But what do you do? Take that. Bring it to subjection. Have a revenge about your disobedience.
Amen.
What did Brother Bram say? You got a temper? Do the exact opposite. Be as kind and nice and lovey-dovey as you can be to everybody. That's right. Run the exact every way. You hate everyone, just start loving everybody.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You think everyone's worse than you, you start being worse than everybody. Everything. Let everybody beat you at everything.
Right.
That's right. Go the exact opposite way. Why? You're taking those thoughts, Satan, give them to you every day. You know, he does this to people on the job. You know you work better than them. Why are they getting paid more than you? Bring that the subject to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? You ain't working for them anyways. You're working for the Lord. That's right. He says, even you servants, submit yourselves unto the higher powers as unto the Lord. For God has set them over you as masters. Well, how am I free if I got a master over me? Because you've recognized this world doesn't matter anyways. Yeah, you might tell me when to come in and when to go, but you're not going to tell me how long to stay on this planet because I'm going to leave the second the Lord calls me. Hallelujah. I just got a fresh heart even today, having more time to spend in the Word and the Lord, having the day off. And it's funny, in my day off, I'm still working. But it's just the way it is anymore. Work till Jesus comes. But to have a heart's desire to really say, Lord, I'm surrendering my affections just to you. Man, and it's so easy, brothers. It's so easy to click something and Satan just drag you right over here. And just look at newspaper and just pull you right over here and start investing your affections, investing your time, your effort into something that you know is frivolous and destroyed anyways.
Yeah.
I just had a renewal in my faith to say, like we just read there, a revengeance to my disobedience. Then I sit there and be complacent about it, but to get a little righteous indignation. Say, Andrew, quit it. Do what God said.
Amen.
I don't feel like praying. I feel like sleeping. Get out and pray. I feel like reading somebody's Facebook that I don't even care about. No, get your Bible out and read a chapter.
Amen.
I feel like listening to this. No, don't worry about none of that. Who cares what some guy said? Go listen to my prophet.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand together tonight.
Jesus be the Lord of all. GF. 489, if you don't know it. Excuse me.
Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my heart. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, Father.
Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my heart.
Think about what you're singing tonight. Mean it with all your heart.
Jesus be the Lord.
Make it your prayer to Him.
Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my heart.
Sing it again tonight. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus,
make it more than a song tonight. Make it a declaration. Yes, Lord.
Jesus, I surrender all. The King.
Give it all to Him tonight. Set your affections on things above. Hallelujah. Sing it again.
Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The King.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being here tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe God has spoken to us. Hallelujah. Don't get an idea like Satan about what a good church is, or what a good believer is, or what is beautiful or pretty or something worth anything. Don't get his idea about it. God don't look at none of that. God looked way past that. He looks into your heart. Hallelujah. When one sinner makes himself right before God, the angels do more rejoicing for that than all this pomp, all these services, all this fancy singing and lights shining and smoke going and all this bunch of hoorah that people call church today. That ain't accepted before God at all. It's another altar of Cain, and it's being rejected. But God's looking for you tonight.
was looking for you, and if any Christian here, I'm not trying to take your experience from you. I hope I've made myself plain. If you've received the Holy Ghost, you're going to be there. That's all there is to it. If you haven't, tonight's the night to receive. How do I do it, brother? Put yourself on the altar. Die to yourself. Let God raise you up anew. It's that simple. Don't do nothing else. Don't try to do nothing else. You've got, if people would just be honest with themselves, full repent of all their things that they've set their affections on. Say, Lord, you know what? I've just been wrong. That's all there is to it. Brother Branham said it this way in the Church Age book. God's looking for a zeal. It's a zeal to say, I am wrong. Hallelujah. And I could, brother, sister, as we stay before Him, being transparent as possible, there's many times where I think the same. Satan will get in my mind and say, look at you, you ain't even doing nothing. Because you're struggling to keep that little church going and keeping that word there. What good has it done? I recognize the adversary, brother, sister. He'll tell me the same things. It ain't big, it ain't beautiful, it ain't pretty. You barely even can fit what you got in this place. It'll make it sound like a total failure. But then I thank God for a message like tonight, saying we ain't building a building anyways. We ain't building just a building to put people in. We're building a kingdom in the heart of every person. And I thank God that He's given me something in my heart to just believe this word unadulterated, to not change it, to not be persuaded by opinion. And I believe you as real believers have the same thing in you. As Satan's come and tried to pull your affections away, don't sit there and wrestle with him no more. Repent of your ways. I've done the same. I did the same before even coming to church today. Say, Father, I don't need to waste any of my affection on anything in this world. It needs to go solely to you. Hallelujah. Just confess it. Let the Holy Spirit forgive you. Take it away. Give you that freedom tonight. Is there anyone say, Lord, that's me. That's me. But I believe tonight I don't have to leave the way I came. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. God bless you, sister. I mean it with all that's in you. Be sincere. Have godly sincerity about it. That, Lord, I can see you on Calvary. I can see you laying down your life. And it's because of these stupid things that I'm doing that you had to do that. And, Lord, it shouldn't be that way. And I'm sorry, Father. Sorry I put you up there, but I accept what you've done for me. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If anyone's here tonight, just what a presence, brother, sister. Don't take this for granted. Don't take this for granted. This is the pearl of great price to us. Hallelujah, I'd rather be here right now than any big pompous service or big special names or special place. There ain't no such thing as any of that. Right here in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And wherever this is, it can be in a big building. As long as He's there, that's where I want to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight, saints. I believe the Lord loves you. I believe He's here with you. Is there anyone that just wants to dedicate themselves afresh? Say, Lord, I'm just staking it down once again that I'm here to serve the Lord. I'm here to be a witness in the last day. Lord, don't let a negative thought come in me, but what the Word of God will come and show me that I'm more than an overcomer in this age. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Surrender it all to Him. Surrender your whole heart to Him. Surrender your whole being. Just pray you get a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost tonight. A fresh feeling of love and joy and peace. Oh, hallelujah. You don't need to presume about it. Just yield yourself over to it and say, Lord, I accept it. I accept it with all my heart. I thank you for joy tonight. I thank you for deliverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, be careful to give Him all the praise now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Set your affection really on Him, brother, sister, to where He makes you joyful. He makes you happy. He gives you peace. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise our God tonight. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord, for doing what no man can do. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Thank you for discerning our hearts, Lord. Showing us where we've been wrong and bringing us a way to be right. Thank you, Jesus. If there's any that would like to come forward for prayer in this presence now, I'd invite you to come now. Hallelujah. Jesus. If there's anyone else, would you come now? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Believe with all your heart. Thank you, Lord. Don't leave bound today. Leave free by the Spirit of God. Confess His Word as we ask. Whatever your promise is, confess what the promise says about your situation. Hallelujah. And you'll walk out with it tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Christian friends, yield yourself to the Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
Accept this sacrifice. Accept Him in the blood of the Lamb. Forgive Him of his ways. Give Him power now by the Holy Ghost to live contrary to that in accepting of Your Word. Grant to my brother, I pray, hear his prayer tonight. Bring him peace and joy back to his heart, back to the presence of God, and restore his fellowship with You, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name.
To lay hands on this. As I lay my hands on my brother, I pray the Holy Spirit lay his hands on the rim of this stomach. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray.
Come on the scene and move on these hearts, Lord. And You come and bring a revelation that You're still God. You're still there and You still love them. May they see You, Father. Give their hearts to You and receive salvation. And Lord, may your extending hand of mercy go to them and heal them. Heal them and bring these souls back to You. Grant it, Lord. Hear my brother's faith. I agree with him tonight. You said if two of us agree on anything, You would do it, Lord. We agree now in Jesus Christ's name. We pray. Amen. Thank You, Jesus.
Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Oh, take some time. Worship Him with all your heart. Oh, brother, sister, don't be afraid to express your affections to Him. People go to football games and scream their heads off for someone. And they'll scream for some rock star. Brother, sister, the King of Kings has come to us tonight. Don't manufacture, but just out of your heart, just out of the revelation of knowing what He's done for you. Give Him praise tonight. Lift Him up. Show Him your love in your own way. Don't be a hypocrite. Just pour your heart out to Him. Unreserved. Don't worry about your neighbor. He's doing the same thing. Thank You, Jesus, for Your grace and mercy to me. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your healing. Thank You for Your grace. Oh, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for saving me, Lord. Thank You for bringing me back when I ran away. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, You're so faithful, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we can sing this with new hearts now.
I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love, for I could never outlove the Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes,
I want to live the way to live. I want to give until there's just no more.
With all your heart,
I want to love till there's just no more love.
Tonight just feels the effects of the word in your heart. Somebody believes that deliverance of the soul still. Heartfelt religion. Being able to still pour out your heart and soul to God. Hallelujah. Not a big put on, not a big bunch of pomp and fancy things, but from a sincere heart, you just love the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, we praise you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Brother, sister, I warn you as Christ's servant, never lose that sincerity between you and Jesus. You could still pray. You could still read your Bible. You could fast. You could come to church. If you lose that kernel of sincerity and love and joy of the Lord Jesus, then it's all in vain. Don't do that. Set your affections on Him. Hallelujah. Let all those things just be outlets of your love for the Lord Jesus. And you'll find the joy and the peace that you're looking for. Hallelujah. How many loves Him tonight? Oh, yes, Lord. We love you. We appreciate you. We adore you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for speaking from heaven to us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for exposing the enemy. Hallelujah, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many knows He's coming soon? Amen, amen. It ain't going to be much longer. Let's give the Lord some praise tonight before we go. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Oh yes, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Thank you, Lord.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
Give Him praise tonight.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King.
Sing it again. Hallelujah.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon,
clap of praise tonight, worship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise Him with all your heart tonight. Oh, glory to God. Thank you for grace and mercy. Thank you for your word, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Has it been good to be in God's house tonight? Amen. May God bless you, be with you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Brother, sister, never lose sight where you're going home to be with Jesus soon. Amen. Fight till Jesus comes for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Never give over to the devil. Dad, I'm just going to hand you the service tonight. Actually, I just broke my thing if you didn't see that. He's going to yell at me later for that one, but hallelujah. Somebody have your dad as a trustee, I'll tell you that. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to have a dad that loves the Lord. I'm glad to have a church that loves the Lord. I'm glad to be amongst y'all. I am. I love you, people. I know Jesus loves you, and that's why I love you. So God bless you, saints. I'll let you be dismissed. Right, let's go ahead and just praise Him. Let's sing. God bless you.